Welcome everyone to the Office Podcast, yet another exciting episode. My name is Miss Lelobi.
And I'm Lytton.
And I'm Gia.
Awesome guys, good to see you again. Are you good?
Yeah. We're good.
I'm good, tired.
All good in the hood.
But it is what it is.
You don't even live in the hood.
I live in the hood.
So this one with an accent is like talking about the hood. Yeah, when last did you go to the hood, Lytton?
It's been a while.
Kia, invite the poor kids.
Don't put me on the
spot.
Okay, let's check if you guys are awake. So yes. You may, clearly you don't know the hood, but do you know Africa? So this is the KYC, Know Your Continent. All right, so I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
This country has had the same president since 1986.
Since 1986?
No. Hello, Zimbabwe does not have Mugabe as a president.
Well, he was one.
Okay, so that's one.
Yeah.
This country is one of the youngest in the world. 50% of the population are under the age of 18. I think it's 14 or 18.
What?
Wow.
50% of the population, people under the age of 18.
That's like Europe on its own.
That's a lot. That's a lot of young people.
If that's the fact of, if that's
okay, what's Europe. Another fact? Do we get a third point?
Another one. It's home to 11% of the world's bird population.
So whose population?
11% of the bird population.
The, what is the bird in Sesotho? It's also okay, another clue. This is like the fourth clue.
Okay,
now guys, football is the national sport.
Football is the national sport.
There's another fact which I don't know if this fact is true or
okay,
not.
Okay, cool.
Apparently it's the highest alcohol consuming nation in the world. not the highest. One of the highest.
Okay.
Well, I know that we are one of the highest as well.
Yeah.
Apparently, this place is first in Africa. Oh, flip. I forgot what is this this country that I'm talking to.
Wow. I'm out. Take your ale, first.
Yes.
Can we start with the...
You guys haven't guessed at all. Sure. Sorry, guys.
Same president.
You said nah.
No, it's not them. It can't be because it's... Mnangagwa is now the president.
Yeah. Of where?
Of them.
Oh.
Oh,
how do you not know that, Kia?
No, so I know that he's not the president anymore, but I mean, I get he's saying since they had a PM.
Maybe I must give you the president's name.
No, okay. Don't give us
I've
the president's
I've given you
name.
Lots of clues.
You're giving us, can you give us the, maybe the direction of Africa?
The direction?
Is it east, west, south?
Highest gorilla population.
Oh my God, it's Rwanda.
No, asked about Rwanda last week.
I know. But it's Burundi.
No.
No, it's not Burundi, actually.
So agriculture is like an important part of this country's economy. Around a third of the population is employed in agriculture. Okay, I'm talking about Uganda.
Oh my God, it is Uganda.
No, he said Rwanda.
Oh, Rwanda.
The president is Yoweri Museveni.
Museveni, yeah.
He's been.
Oh gosh, guys. Africa and these heads of states that just don't want to go.
So clearly you guys don't.
But I didn't know. I legit didn't know they've got the largest population of gorillas. I thought Rwanda because they've got that gorilla tourism.
People go there for the, what do they call, mountain gorilla or something like that.
Yes, because they have the same thing in Rwanda. And it's super expensive, eh?
Apparently.
Like it's really expensive.
The age population thing got me because
that
was a shock. And the reason I said Europe is because when I did sociology at some random point in my life.
In your life, long time ago, when you knew how to reference. Yeah.
When I knew how to reference that.
And to Google.
Yeah.
That Europe, compared to Africa, Africa has quite the opposite. So we have more...
Older generation.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
okay.
It's actually the other way around. I'm lying. Mm. So Africa has more young people. That's why our unemployment rate is so high. Yes. Europe is actually the opposite.
They have too many...
The older generation,
senior citizens
are not enough to work for. So that's why you can go to Europe, guys. Mm. Literally apply for a job and you're in.
Okay, yeah, so we have something very interesting that we're discussing this week in the Office Politics. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about?
So on today's show, we will be continuing the conversation on salaries in the workplace. But this time, we'll be looking at ways to get what you want out of salary expectation discussions.
You can. Mm-hmm. So you can get out of what you can get what you want out of salary discussions.
You can.
Hey.
Interesting. Can. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I think we should just get right into it.
Should we?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So last week, guys, Lytton mentioned how it's sometimes at a point of negotiation when you do start a new job or going to an interview, you may fall short, and that may be the reason why you just end up, you know, earning less than what you realize. So, you know, we always want to engage with you guys, and just Milo, I think it's just Milo.
Yeah, it's just Milo. Yes.
Right? On Twitter, actually engaged with us. And said, our colleagues in Europe speak so openly about their salaries to each other. I think SA still has a long way to go, especially given the racial pay gap that secretly exists, right?
Secretly.
Yes.
Okay. In quotes. Let alone the gender pay gap as well. And that's why we are going to continue that conversation.
Okay.
Because it seems to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
But also, guys, Lelo, you also mentioned the stats since the beginning of 2017. The difference in the gender pay gap has fluctuated wildly.
Mm.
Almost 2 years ago, SA was heading in the right direction with sexes separated by just 10%. However, that figure is almost tripled within a 3 month period to a little under 30%. So
wow.
I think the gender pay gap currently sits at 28% or something.
Yes, yes.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah.
It went up from 10, I think, last year.
Yeah, so it was 10%. So I don't know, guys. I'm not sure what's happening there. It's either the guys are just getting paid extremely well, or the ladies are just getting paid trash. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it can only be that. It cannot be anything else. Like, it's just basically women are getting paid way, 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 way less.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So today we want to break down the salary discussion a little bit, and hopefully by the end of the chat, listeners will have a better understanding of how their packages are determined. Because truth is, guys, sometimes you go into an interview, and when you're unprepared in that interview, you don't even know how much to ask for or what your expectations are. But also, there's also that confusion of if you're earning a specific amount now, you can't at your new employer ask for a specific percentage, right? Whereas I've also heard of people...
Huh?
Yeah, so I've heard of people say you can't ask for more than 50% more than what you're currently getting.
Okay.
In terms of package.
Okay.
But then
there's no rule that says that. I guess it's just people thinking.
Yeah, maybe it's just people thinking.
Or whatever,
and
but
then,
it's not a rule.
Or someone just wanting to cheat you.
Yeah.
Also. And then you've got people who can literally manage to negotiate their way into getting double what they're currently earning.
Yeah.
So it's one of those.
I've been one of those people.
Yeah. you see what I'm saying. Remember when Lilo also mentioned that it depends.
Please excuse my coughing. I have this flu thing that doesn't want to end. I'm sorry.
Drink some water.
Some water.
Flowing like the water.
If you hear me, just ignore.
Okay.
Try. So for that reason, that is why we wanted to have that discussion, because it seemed like an interesting one, and a lot of people fumble this conversation. And also in an interview, sometimes you don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Some people also, guys, don't even know the difference between their gross income, their net income.
Exactly. The benefits.
But I also don't think they should be asking you about your salary in an interview.
Oh,
no, I don't think
like
it,
not
I don't
in
think
front of
right.
you. So should it be on mail then?
I think look, it doesn't have to be. It can be over a phone conversation or whatever.
Okay.
But I don't think. I think it's really uncomfortable to ask a candidate in an interview. So how much is your salary expectation or whatever? So I kind of feel like can we just do the interview, finish whatever, and then you can have that conversation with the person that you are interested in. Don't be, if you're using, for example, if you're using, let's say you're going to a company through an agency, then they would, obviously the agency can then tell you when they send the CV through, they can even tell the company already what your salary is and what your expectation is. I don't like that whole thing of in an interview, people are already asking you about salary.
I'm
uncomfortable.
I'm definitely with that. But I've like, just to take it back like a little bit. What I have an issue with is being asked to send my payslip. And let me tell you why. Because this is the thing. I work in advertising, right? And sometimes you apply for a job, right? And then let's say they've got an account with a particular client, and that client pays them a certain retainer, and let's say 300,000 of that retainer goes to staff, like, right? To resources, right? So which would be the people that are working on the account. So if you have 300,000, why don't you spend it as you see fit and whoever is in the team and say that this position we're between this much amount of salary range. And if I apply, if I don't, then we negotiate within that range.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening is that you will see me, you think that I'm brilliant, you want to hire me, But then because I'm being paid less where I am, and then I'm just going to be paid less, and then you get to profit more, but you're actually making enough money to pay me more.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like about that. I think it's so unfair.
I think it's also, it's companies that are unethical to do that. Because, I mean, you there are reasons why people are paid. It could be that you are working for a small company, therefore you're not being really paid. Your salary is not market related.
Yes.
But now if I'm going to work for this other company that can afford to pay the salary, the market related salary, why now must it be based on what I'm earning rather than is it within this range that we had? Because every role is budgeted for.
Exactly.
So it should be within that range rather than...
So isn't it that according to South African law, I'm not sure about other countries, but we're not actually, they don't legally have to...
You don't have to.
You don't have to, right?
Yeah. No, you don't.
But you see, the tricky thing about recruitment agencies, though, is that you'll end up signing this form. So they'll have these forms that they give you and then... I don't know if people read the fine print.
What does
or
it say?
So it's things like you'll need to obviously provide the necessary documentation that they require. It's the checking your criminal record.
Yeah, I know that.
And then obviously if they want to put you forward for a role, they're not going to put you forward if you're like being stubborn about a payslip.
Yeah, that's the challenge with it.
Exactly.
As much as you're not obliged, legally obliged to give your payslip, because people are saying this is something very confidential.
Yeah.
Why do you want to see my payslip? Just offer me what you think I'm worth.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as you're not obliged to give the potential employer your payslip, unfortunately it can work to your disadvantage.
Yeah.
Also because agencies also sometimes super inflate salaries, because the higher the salary that you get offered, the higher the amount that they make.
Oh.
So the reason why companies sometimes want to see is also to check if you really are getting whatever the agency says
you're getting.
You are getting. And also sometimes, like you were saying, Kia, that other people don't even know what a CTC is and so on and so on.
Yeah.
Sometimes a payslip, when an employer asks you for your payslip, as much as it's, yes, it's to see, to confirm your salary, which talks to an element of trust. Why do you not trust that I'm getting what I say I'm
getting? Exactly, exactly.
The other thing is to confirm things like that. What salary are you getting? Is this a CTC or is it just a basic salary? What are the other benefits and so on? Those kind of things. So, look, people are not obliged to give their payslip.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an up and downside to it. It could be that if you said no, then they now don't, they exclude you from the process.
Yeah, I've learned to, like, over the years to of course, like, read well my payslip. Mm. But also when I look for a job, to say, okay, these are my benefits. My employer pays whatever percentage amount to my medical aid. This is what percentage they put forward to my retirement annuity.
Yeah.
This is what like leave days that I have, because that also factors in that salary conversation. And then I ask them to make me an offer and then do a dummy payslip with that information that I've given them. And then I'll see, like, if it's actually worth me taking it or not. Yeah. And I know it's not easy.
So
cause
do they then go ahead without you giving the
payslip? Without me giving, exactly. Yeah. And just giving those guidelines. And I do understand it's hard, because I've also, like, I've tried to dodge it as much as I can.
Yeah.
And because sometimes you realize that, you know, you're literally moving, like you said, you're moving from a small company, it's not market related, and then you do, and I think what helped me is that I moved from, like, a smaller company, and then I went to, like, a more corporate company, and then that shifted the whole thing, so now it's, like, it's more of a different, you know, different conversation when you're, like, looking for a new employment and stuff, but it is hard, and I get what you're saying about the fact that you're not considered, because then your first impression is not really
but
the best.
And if they don't consider you, it's really because they're not serious about you. Because
that is true.
If this is the best candidate out of the lot, and this candidate refuses to give the payslip but gives a range that I'm willing to accept, this is the minimum that I'm willing to accept, I'm looking for something between this amount and that amount. Come on, it shouldn't be difficult. And like Lighton says, you also give, this is what I'm contributing to pension or medical aid and whatever. They should be able to give you an offer based on that. Because at least you've given a range. So I think if they want you, they will do it without you giving them a payslip.
So I think that it's one thing that Lighton mentioned that's important, is that people don't actually break down their payslips or what it means.
Because
your company might be contributing 8% to pension funds.
Absolutely.
And then you only contribute 3%. And then, you know, things like that. And then there's the medical aid. So there was once a company, like a few years ago, maybe like 4 years ago or something, that wanted to offer me a job. And then I asked for a dummy payslip because I wanted to just see what's going on. I wanted to just see what's going on. And what confused me was the fact that I was forced to take a specific medical aid package. You know, things like that, which already now
brings medical aid or a specific package on a medical aid.
A specific medical aid and the actual package. So everyone in the company has to be on that specific. I was like, oh, no.
That's tricky. I get the specific medical aid, a package or specific retirement.
Not the actual option.
The package too. But nonetheless,
that's open to choice.
You see that
was it everybody or was it because you're in a particular salary bracket then you had
to
take
that? The highest salary bracket, but it was the highest medical aid package.
Unless Kia, they are subsidizing you 100% for that option. So if I don't they think it's fair. I don't know if they're even allowed to do that. I don't know much about medical aid rules, but I don't think they're allowed to do that. Because if they're not subsidizing you, if they're not paying your contribution to the medical aid, and then they're choosing the highest option, and then you must also pay for yourself.
So guys, if you're working
for these trash companies,
if you guys work in a, you know, if you're an HR professional and you understand, you know, things like medical aid, benefits and, you know, if you specialize in benefits, please do actually tweet us a hashtag the office podcast, because we need to, you know, open the conversation. I mean, where I work now, it's brilliant. Like, they actually pay 75% of my medical aid.
I only pay
25%. So that's brilliant for me. Because, you know, I don't even feel the pinch that other people feel. And it's a great cover, too. So that's why I think there's other things, you know, that you look at outside of the actual figure itself. But anyway, quickly, while we get back to your life, I just wanted to, I chatted to someone who is in recruitment. And I asked her exactly what the process is in determining a candidate's package or salary or offer. And this is what she had to say.
Hi, Office Podcast. My name is Nana and I'm a talent acquisition specialist. I work within the industrial recruitment space, focusing on mining and engineering. When it comes to determining salaries for new candidates, the main focus is three factors, which is current salary or lost salary if the candidate is unemployed. We look at what the candidate is looking for salary-wise, and also we look at market-related. With regards to whether candidates in the same role should be earning the same, I'm 50-50 on that, because on one end, yes, they should be within the same salary bracket, you know, let's say from 500 to 600, but in some instances, this is not the case, simply because there might be one candidate that, you know, performance-wise is excelling. If that company doesn't have performance incentives, they generally sort of put an increase in the person's salary. Or if they have headhunted the candidate from a competitor or a corporate that definitely has everything that they need within their company and they see the value of that candidate may be offered more. So definitely 50-50 on that. So yeah, awesome. Thanks. Bye-bye.
So that's Nana's view. So she's actually a talent
acquisition specialist.
There you go. Thank you.
I was listening.
And she says exactly that. So there's different factors that go into literally, you know, coming with the package. So that's what I'm saying. In instances, so I used to hear that, no, you can't get this, you can't jump from this to this and this and I'm just like, and you know, I actually did a stint in recruitment for like 4 months.
That's why you love it so much.
I don't.
You always talk about recruitment.
I think it's only because I have the experience and I saw the other side. I saw the other side.
Yes, that's exactly what you're saying.
So I'm just like, I was just like, okay. Because also another thing that we need to also, and it's not a bad thing or anything, but I think also what we need to remind ourselves is that recruiters are actually more, or agencies are a lot more like salespeople.
Yeah,
they are.
They're selling a job.
They get paid based on the commission. Exactly. They've got target to meet as well.
So they're literally selling you a role, and then they have to sell you.
But what I don't like about these, some agencies actually, the things they do, because for them, because they've got targets, the things they get up to to try and make sure that this candidate gets hired. Some of them embellish CVs, anyway.
Which is not great.
No, it shouldn't be.
But the interesting thing about embellished CVs, it always shows. It always, like when you get the job and you don't know, lying on your CV as well. Never worry.
Another topic.
Yeah,
that's a different topic.
We will address that. But okay, guys. So If you have any questions though about this topic so far, and maybe we haven't addressed it in this episode, then please let us know what it is. And you can use any of our handles actually.
Yeah.
At @Gyahi_M, at @AudaciousTony, at Miss Lillaby.
With underscores in their names.
Because anyway, someone else
because
stole
someone took
the
a name.
Actual original name. Okay. So you have to use the underscore. So so one thing that I think we need to just clarify for people are the abbreviations and the actual breakdown of your salary, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So cost to company, Lelo. Cost to company?
What about it?
CTC. What is it?
No, guys, who doesn't know what a cost to company is?
There are people
who
don't
know. They must Google. Can we talk about, can we talk about payslips? Cost to company. Yay. Who doesn't know what a cost to company is?
Okay, guys, for the people that don't know what a cost to company
is, right? Google.
Yes. But I'm also going to tell you that it indicates the total amount of expenses that the organization or the company is going to pay you in a year, right? So it's that big figure. So it's your monthly by 12, ne?
So I think the reason why I'm saying people must Google it, and the way the reason why I'm shocked is like the people that listen to this podcast, come on now, they're employed, they're at the office.
That
how do you
true,
not know what a cost to company is?
We don't know, but guys. We've opened it up to interns, we've opened it up to graduates.
Exactly.
So we're just going to listen.
How do you graduate without knowing how to Google? I'm kidding.
Actually, you'd be surprised how the people who graduate, they don't even know how to reference.
Yeah.
But that's a story
for
another day.
Okay, but referencing is hard.
No, it's not hard.
No,
it is
sharing
hard.
Sharing fake news as a grown graduate who doesn't know how to decipher the difference between a real source and a fake source.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So, you know, on the issue of salaries, Gia, before you move on from it, because I can see you are tired of the pace, giving pace lift, I actually found out that while I was reading about it, in New York, it's banned. The city of New York, they banned it. They like, you can't be asking people for their pay slips because it contributes to this current gender gap thing.
That is actually quite true.
Oh, damn.
And I
also think, another thing, this whole thing of asking people for pay slips and then if they don't give you the pay slips, then they fall out of the recruitment process and so on. It's like the companies are out there telling, they will be saying that, no, it's hard to find talent, it's difficult to find talent. But then, yet, when talent is not in a recruitment process, you don't treat them like talent.
Exactly.
You should start treating people like talent from that process,
true.
You know?
So
true.
Then I guess it goes back to, as well as a talent, know your worth. Because then you know what you'll stand for and you know what you won't stand for.
The only difficulty becomes in the sense that people are usually can I use almost and usually in the same sentence?
Yeah.
Anyway.
almost usually
desperate. <Google that>. But I must Google.
You must Google your English.
Wow. Okay. Do you have more on this topic here, or are we done? Because you guys are now laughing at me and my Google.
But guys, if you have anything you want to add to the conversation, please #  the Office Podcast, because it's quite an interesting one. It's one that we always see on the timelines, on social media, but also in the office, you know, when people do discuss their salaries, because this is a continuation from the conversation that we had last week about sharing salaries and how salaries are determined. Because, it's like Nana said as well, those sort of things, different things like performance and your accolades on your CV.
Exactly.
What did they actually say? What did you study? Because obviously, if you, as much as you might have 3 years experience, and I also have 3 years experience, I might have the qualification required for the job.
Yeah,
you might not have the qualification.
Exactly, or vice versa. You might have the qualification required, but
not
the experience.
Exactly. So there's different things. So sometimes, as much as you wanna, jump,
you get to the office and all you know is referencing.
then it's a problem.
Yeah.
Or you know how to play with the phone or your internet, but you don't even know how to Google things like that. So make sure that when you do apply for your role, you've actually researched the market related salaries.
Yes.
So what is the median, like
And I think that's what
middle?
Kills people, because people don't have a clue.
Yeah, you
about
see, I always research
what is the right package for this type of role.
So I always research and get an idea and then compare to what I'm at,
exactly,
where I'm at.
Where you are.
And then sometimes, look guys, if you're like in demand or hot, in the
or if you've got a rare skill.
Then you're good to go. You can actually like skyrocket and go far with that request. So it varies from person to person. Yeah. But guys, let us know what you think. Have you ever been actually cheated? You know, out
of
a good
slip. So Gia, what's your conclusion? Would you recommend people to submit their payslips when they are asked?
You know what? It's for me still a catch-22 one, because to some extent I just feel like I do feel uncomfortable with sharing payslips.
Okay.
But, you know, also the way that Nana's also explained it and how they can, it can actually benefit you at the end of the day.
Those benefits.
Personally, I'd still do it because, you know what, what am I going to lose from that?
Okay.
I do believe that if you really want me, then you will make the right offer. Yeah. And if you really want me, you'll give me what I'm looking for.
And Lyson, will you send your payslip when they ask you? Oh, you've already
No, don't do that.
I'll There's people who even forge payslips, guys, just FYI.
But this is the
thing. Imagine getting fired before you get hired.
So how will they know that you forged it?
There's
some people who are really good at it.
No, some things look dodgy. It's like I always get uncomfortable with asking people for payslips. So I always ask them what their cost of company is. And then I just work it from there. If you tell me that I can work it from
there. I don't have a problem with sending a payslip if I want the job. Hey?
Because
I don't want to delay things. I don't want to confuse
And if you're worth
Get my payslip, you will see exactly how many leave days I qualify for, what other benefits they are, and so on. To make things happen quicker.
So, okay, guys, you don't have to do it. So, in conclusion, I guess you don't have to do it.
Yeah, but... You can follow
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's a case-by-case, you know, situation. Yeah. So if you feel comfortable in some situations, do it. If you don't, then don't do it. Yeah,
you better be worth it, though.
All right, cool. It has to be worth it. Thank you so much. We'll come back just after this.
With some tea.
Welcome back. It's now time for tea with Lyson. Lyson, what's up?
Okay, cool. Let's get into it. So you remember last week we spoke about the Lebo Mathosa auditions, and you raised quite an interesting topic about Brenda Fassie's story and biopic. Yeah. Why is it not there and why wasn't there? So we found out why it wasn't there during this week, and the reason why it's not there is because there's been a fight between Ubongani Fassie, who's Brenda's son, and Chico Twala, who's Brenda's former manager, right? And
producer,
producer and manager.
Oh, okay.
He was everything. He was invested in that
coining
whole.
It.
Yeah, he was coining it. And Chico has been actually trying to secure exclusive rights to for filming rights for Brenda's story for his company, exclusively to his company. So, and then Bongani Fassie has been fighting this in court, and he actually won the suit at court, so he's going to be developing all of this through his own company, which is a big deal. Bongani's company, that is, just to clarify that. So, and I'm glad that it happened that way, because I don't think I feel like it's a legacy that Brenda left for him, and then he should actually benefit from it more than anyone else.
Absolutely.
It would be really bad if someone else benefited from it, because we see this whole thing about generational wealth not going to the people that actually deserve the wealth. So happy about that, and hopefully soon we're going to be seeing Amabri.
I think that would be amazing.
It would be great, and I hope they get the right person to play
Brenda.
Exactly.
And I also hope that Chico and Bongani somehow make up.
Yeah,
because I feel like Chico is now holding this music.
Exactly.
And I mean, how do you make a Brenda biopic without the actual
music?
That would be a challenge. So I really hope they make up so that at least we get a good product. Because it has to be done justice. It's Brenda Fassie after all.
Exactly, it has to be. And also not even getting the music aspect of it. It's just for Chico being a person that can, speak to the story. I think it's quite important.
Yes,
he was there for most of it.
Yeah, because Bongani was a child for most of the time.
Exactly.
So, the entertainment side.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's tricky, guys, because it seems to be a very intricate relationship, with Chico Twala, and I'm not wanting to delve too much into him as a person or his relationships, but he seems to be involved in quite a lot of things that... I can't explain read about, but I do feel bad for Bongani when the story first broke out. And I've felt like he's always almost struggled to come to terms with his mom's death.
He was alone and so lost when this whole thing
happened. And imagine if we feel like that and we're so far, imagine how, imagine how he feels. Mm. So when I saw this yesterday, I was like, yay yours. And it's funny because we were just talking about it last week.
Last week, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so I'm super excited. I can't wait, and I hope it, you know, becomes a great production. Look, Bangani, if you're looking for someone to, you know, to come sweep the set or something.
To cater.
You don't want to be my brr.
Nah.
You know, I've been an actor.
No, I get it as a young my brr.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you get Nomuzi to play Brenda?
Actually, you know.
I'm joking.
Okay, guys. So that's it on the biopic. And cool. Hopefully it's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that it actually translates into something
yes,
big.
Yes.
Sometime soon. So we're rooting for you, Bongani. Woo! Please make us proud. And moving on along swiftly, guys, international team, right?
What's happening?
This thing has literally been giving me... I've been wanting to speak about this for a while, but then I just haven't been... I speak about it, like, you know, but I just haven't been... I didn't know what to say, really, because it's been, like, a tricky one. But anyway,
what is this story that has you all shaken up?
It's Wendy Williams' story, guys. You know, Wendy Williams is going through the drama with the husband and the mistress and all of that, guys. So, I don't know if you know this, but then recently, it's, I think a couple of days ago, actually, Wendy's husband's mistress
had a baby.
And so now apparently Wendy is seeking separation from Kevin Hunter.
It's about
time.
The guy that had the mistress for 10 years or something.
Yeah, it's yes. been like literally, and she
where they
the
go
road.
On holiday and, yeah. when he and Wendy go on holiday, the she girl also comes and gets his own her own room.
Exactly.
How what, guys?
Can you imagine? No, but I'm not a daddy, Lila, guys. Like, no. It's like, no.
But sorry, I don't know. It's very difficult for me to feel sorry for Wendy Williams, guys. I know it's yeah. hard. It's, yeah. it's ugly, whatever she's going through, but when it comes to the fact to this thing that has to do with the husband, yes, I will feel sorry for her when it comes to the drugs and the addictions and whatever yes. if it's drugs or whatever she's addicted to. That part I get. But the husband bit the things Wendy says about people,
aye. Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what
is
I was
it
about
not her
to
man,
say.
Is it her not making money off a show? Is that not like her mandate to say trash about people?
I mean, like, it's her mandate to trash people, but then there is a way you can tell if she likes somebody how she
yes,
can trash
she
them,
covers it.
But then it doesn't sound as mm-hmm. you know demeaning yeah. and like very invasive. but then yeah, with other yeah, when she doesn't like you, she goes in so bad. And for me, like, what has always, okay, like, I'm really deviating from the story, but
oh,
what
sorry.
Has always, you know, made me question Wendy is how she's all about women's support, but she's the biggest woman basher on TV.
Exactly.
Like, it's quite interesting.
And understandably, she can't now only bash men because yeah. she talks gossip about everyone.
Right,
but I really feel like there is a way to do gossip without being as hectic. But look, it works for her. People love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I was shocked now seeing that when her show was on a hiatus or whatever,
yeah.
people were like, oh, Wendy.
When are
like,
you coming
wow,
back?
So
yeah.
many people love Wendy
okay,
on my timeline.
The audience members get so excited.
They, of course, those people are there. They are being told
to clap.
You believe those people? They are told to clap.
Yeah.
Like previews.
Yeah. But yeah. anyway, so just to wrap it all up, you know, I feel bad for her. But Lele says it is hard to feel bad for her, but it is hard to feel bad for her. But I just feel bad for her because I feel like there's something that, because this has been happening for a long time. Clearly, she has known. There's no way she would have not known about this.
She knew.
I just feel bad for her because it seems like she cannot get out of the marriage.
Why can't she get out?
I don't know. It's probably like some legal
implications.
Some money stuff.
No, but apparently, this man is staying with her because she's got the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So chances are they got married in community of property. Because, you know, a lot of couples just decide to stay together, or a lot of people stay in a marriage because they married in community. They were stupid enough to marry in community of property.
Oh, probably.
Exactly.
And then now you're stuck. Yeah, because then your pension fund, everything gets good.
Exactly.
That
yeah.
And I once saw a lady post how she also got married in community of property, and her husband literally, you know, her husband didn't even know each other's finances. Like, firstly, I don't even know how they got to get engaged without even knowing each other's finances, but I'm not here to judge. And she says that when they divorced, she actually took like 3 million rand worth of debts or something like that she had to now, because he was, I think, an entrepreneur and didn't work out. There was 3 million debt, and now he's not working, and she had to obviously look after that, look after him, look after the kids. When they decided to separate, he took half of her pension fund and half of everything else. And then now he's gone. Nowhere to be found in this kids that to look after.
See? Yeah.
So that might be another issue. Because then you know how in America they love the spousal support angle.
Yeah, exactly.
Next thing, she's going to have to be paying him spousal
especially if
support.
You've got money. Yeah, she probably would have, because when they got together, she was on radio. She was popular, but then she wasn't making as much bank as she is now. And I think they also joined partners in their business, which entitled them to a lot more. But anyway, besides the finance stuff, I just wish her the best, I suppose, in whatever direction she, you know, she goes, and hopefully she'll stop talking bad
that
about
is
other
shame.
People's marriage.
Sorry, I know. It's very, it's very difficult for me to say, oh, Wendy.
Shame, yeah.
It's only the, you know, the whole addiction bit, and yes, that part, yes,
that is
shame.
Painful,
the struggle, that struggle. Yes, but I hope she gets better and you know, heal.
And hopefully she
Men.
Yeah. And hopefully she becomes sensitive to other people's relationships when she's
she won't have a show, guys. Come now. She won't have a show. People watch.
No, but she couldn't. She mustn't be the first one to say you must leave.
Exactly.
She's the first one to say why don't you leave this.
Yeah.
Whatever. Mariana, she can't do it.
Exactly. And then she gets mad when people speak about her life.
That's the
well,
thing.
We'll hope you're listening.
Just so I guess you might have to
when he's listening to the Office podcast.
You know, you never know. Strange things have happened.
They put her to bed early there in that, what do they call it? A sober house that she's in.
Oh, shame, man.
Okay, guys, so just one more story before I go.
Okay.
That has me upset, actually. So, you know, Lupita Nyong'o released with Jordan Peele, who's the amazing producer for the movie Get Out. Did you watch Get Out?
I watched Get Out.
It was amazing.
Like 10 years later. Sorry, not 10 years
later. Lupita is in this new horror movie by Jordan Peele called Us.
Mm.
And it just, I think it debuted like last week, Thursday or somewhere. And it's receiving rave reviews. But there's been backlash. When I say backlash, I literally am quoting it because... as I get into the story, you know why I don't consider it backlash.
Yeah.
So people are saying that, Lupita was, in her acting, she was mimicking, like, conditions called spasmodic dysphonia, which is basically, like, a neurological, condition.
Yeah.
So where you sort of, like, stutter and all of that. So she was using that to actually bring to the character and make him, like, come alive, you know, creatively and whatever. And she's getting a lot of backlash of that. And I do not get it. And it's been, like, topical. Like, you know, all the news outlets are speaking
about
it. Yeah, which I don't get, because there's been a lot of people who have been, using other conditions to, you know, to develop the character.
You're just wanting something to complain about. Like,
yeah, I think it's also just, I mean, guys, how many...
It's acting.
I just feel like, I feel bad because this is the first time that a black lead female has debuted, like, with high numbers on the box office. She's actually like broken rock records in opening lead. And I just feel
you
like
guys,
it's just
are you gonna see
every
it?
Time.
I
I'm definitely
it.
Gonna
I'm
see
curious.
It.
I'm really
are you gonna go to the
now?
Cinema to see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm definitely
I get
going
45 I get like Musa 45 rand.
Oh my god. Discovering people.
I don't know. I'll wait for it to be on
DVD or
Netflix or something.
Netflix.
One of those things.
I really want to go into film, so I really want to see it. I definitely want to see it.
There's certain things that I really liked seeing on the
It's a horror,
and I think, like, yeah.
I don't know. I'll need like warm arms to go watch it with.
You know why I like watching
horror? You might
horror
actually is? Catch it after cinema, because I don't know how long it's going to take you to find those arms. So don't
come.
You
know what I like? What I like about watching it horrors in the cinema is when you're at home, you can't take the, you know, the scariness out. But
that's exactly why I watch it at home.
Oh my god, no.
I don't want to be scared.
Oh, okay.
I like the comments as well from other people during a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun. We all laugh
in the cinema.
But anyway, so just to sum it all up, I just feel like it's been like unfair and unwarranted.
Mm.
We can name so many actresses that have been inspired by different, you know, diseases or conditions or whatever that haven't been lambasted. But luckily that it was Lupita, who is always classy and super smart. Her response was quite great. She literally responded with an educated people what it was in her apology, which was such a high road and such a classy act. So
I will be honest. I will be honest and say I didn't see the actual
backlash.
I just saw articles about the backlash.
Exactly.
So I don't know how real it was. And actually, people need to just calm down. Yeah, we can't be woke about every other thing now. Come on, man. Let's calm down.
Allow artists to be artists. That's what I'm going to say.
That's what it is. That's what it sells. Guys, like, chill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was enough on tea time.
Yes. Thank you, Lighten, for the fun. Woo. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Now it's time for us to put up our out of office and travel. So this is the out of office section.
Yeah. My favorite.
Guess what? Is it your favorite?
Yeah. Yay. I love travel.
Yay.
Oh,
eyes. Okay. So talking about travel then, I wanted us to talk about what are the essential items to pack when traveling.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys, Lighten, what do you not leave back when you travel? T-shirts and shorts.
Of course.
Besides your t-shirts and shorts.
I honestly like struggle with packing because I'm one of those people, I don't know if anyone can relate, but I'm one of those people who I have a dilemma when I'm packing.
Mm-hmm.
I try and I'll be like, okay, what if it's cold? Even if I know it's summer, I'm like, what if it's cold? And I'm like, I need to have a cute outfit then for winter. God. And then I really struggle. But then like the main ones for me, if it's summer, if it's hot, I need to pack sunscreen and a pair of glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to mix it like a pair of expensive glasses, a pair of like really cheap glasses so that you can lose them, then it's fine.
Yes.
And also like a camera, if I have one, which
goes from time to time. Let's talk about reality. Yeah. You don't have a camera. What do you pack? Your phone.
Your phone.
And your power bank.
Yeah. And then and I also like I'm very anal. Like I need to pack like all like my like a file with like all my documents in case just copies of like.
You do
that? Yes.
When you read a lot of articles, there's lots of advice about the fact that you actually need to, even your passport, make a copy of your passport just in case you lose it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
Exactly.
Your insurance,
where
do you keep your
travel insurance. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I always do that. I always do like my health insurance, my travel insurance, a copy of my passport, like certified copies of my passport, my ID, my birth certificate. Yes.
So you said ID and birth certificate and passport.
Yes, I do. Because you never know.
Why do you even have your birth certificate?
I don't know. Like, I'm just anal about that. So that's what I always
say. I'm sorry.
Maybe you were created in an incubator. Like, look, guys.
Why do you have your birth certificate?
I don't know. I just, like, I always, like, I literally have this file that I always carry wherever I am.
Okay, but why do you have it? Why do you still have your birth certificate?
I don't know, because I always need it. I don't know.
Why do you need a birth certificate if you've got a passport and an ID?
I don't know.
So you carry your birth certificate, your ID copy, as well as a passport?
Yes.
No, that's a waste.
I know, it's like, it's too much for the ID.
It is too much.
Yes. Oh, and my academic qualifications. In case I want to apply for a job. I don't know why, but I actually do that. Okay. I think I'm very off topic, but I actually do that a lot.
Okay,
I think you should go to Kia because I'm like
going on a trip, fam. Like,
you never know what opportunities await you.
You know what? Okay. You know what? Lights and guys get a star. He's forward. I'm starting to feel like you're a criminal. Or
qualifications, even.
You,
damn. Do you take some money, or you like, no, I'll get work then. I'll get a job then.
Okay, you guys, stop laughing at me. Kia, what do you pack?
He has a birth certificate.
Well, I definitely pack underwear. That's like my, I can't, I'd be so crushed if I travel and I didn't have underwear. Yeah. Obviously, I could go and shop for it.
But isn't that obvious?
It's obvious what it should happen.
Another tip that I read online is that when you pack your underwear and socks, pack your last chance items, as in those things that you wear it once and throw it away afterwards, and then you leave it there. And then the idea behind it was that too, so that you don't have your luggage isn't so heavy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but underwear and socks don't really make my luggage heavy, do they?
Don't, yeah. And that's what's always fun traveling in summer, because you don't have to pack as much. You pack shorts, you pack t-shirts, but definitely the documents that accept my qualification. I don't know where my birth certificate is. I just traveled my passport.
Yeah, I even forgot I had a one sided birth certificate.
Yeah, I don't know where mine is, and it's one of those handwritten ones.
How old are you, damn? Okay.
So, definitely that. Sunscreen is a definite yes.
Yeah.
And I always make sure that I have a jacket. So even if I'm going to a, yes, you know, a warm place, I always have a jacket of some sort, because you never
know
what could happen.
That's a great tip. Even if you think it's like Dubai, it's like hot, it's 40, whatever. You never know.
Yeah, you never
there
know,
might
guys.
Be rain or some evening where it's just chilly.
And always, and a pair of tackies or comfortable tackies or
absolutely.
Shoes for walking around. Or if you are comfortable in flip-flops, then do so too.
Mm. I like flip-flops for like, you know, when you go down for breakfast. If you're just going for breakfast and then you're going to go back into your room to change and
go. I've got flat feet, so they don't, I can't wear like shoes that are too flat for too long or walk long distances. So I prefer having comfortable shoes and a plug.
Oh, that's an important
that's like
one,
so important, because if you don't have an international plug, or at least find, you know, something that where you can actually, that you can
I don't
use
even,
internationally.
Do we even need international plugs these days?
It depends,
because we usually have this two-pin thingy.
Some
I guess you want to have
depends,
like
especially in Europe, especially
plug.
Those places. Yeah, those places are can get tricky.
I don't carry a plug anymore. I just
carry
my charger or whatever.
The challenge is when you're traveling with friends and then there's one person who's forgotten their charger and you have to like share or
they must
plug.
Buy. Luckily there are shops everywhere.
Luckily there's shops.
Oh, you can even go to concierge and they'll give you one too.
Depending on where you're staying.
Like,
Lele, so what are your tips for what to pack?
Mina, the first thing I pack is my phone.
Of course.
Okay, so I have two phones. I'll have my main phone and I'll have an additional phone because because when I get there, I will take my SIM card and put it in the phone that I'm gonna use and take a local SIM and put it in my day-to-day phone.
Oh, clever!
So that I've got Wi-Fi, I'm connectivity,
connected,
3G, whatever. And this is my main phone. My WhatsApp still comes to my main phone.
Yes.
But for sometimes like bank notifications and things like that, I can still check what I'm swiping on my other phone because the SMSs will go to my usual number.
Yes.
So I always also SMS roam because I'm on prepaid.
Yes.
SMS roam, I can text message. Yeah. I can text people.
Okay.
I can see, I can receive messages if you text me. Or if you try call me, I will also see like you try to call me, it will come across as a text.
Yeah.
So that also helps me to kind of see what's happening. So I'm not completely out of touch because roaming is super expensive.
It is.
Yep.
Especially for people like me who are on prepaid.
Yeah.
So definitely the phones, power bank, absolutely.
Of course.
I like take two, three, both charged.
That looks like bricks.
Yes. So when you're traveling with one, you know there's one that's at the hotel that's charging.
Yes.
Because we must always stay on our phone. As soon as my phone gets to 50%, guys, I start panicking about the battery. So it must always be
above 50%, 50. Yes.
So shades, you did mention shades, absolutely. Yes. And then if there's a beach swimsuits, one or two.
Of course,
at least two. And then, I don't know, I always see people carrying backpacks. Do you guys carry backpacks?
I always have a backpack.
Yeah, I have a backpack when I travel. That's where my book will go in for reading and my passport. Yeah. And so all the little items that I'll need to refresh maybe my book. Charge of the power bank that all goes in there.
I have two backpacks actually.
Okay.
I have like one, like I have a mini backpack.
Mm-hmm.
The one that when I'm traveling, I'll carry is like my bag, and we have like my essentials in that little one. And then I've got like a big one where I always travel with my laptop. I don't know why. But I always do.
But
anyway.
Well, we don't know why you travel.
Yeah, we don't know why you travel.
I don't know.
Why
I think it's because like I always like to like port stuff. Because then I only use one phone. So if like my phone is full, then I can transfer my pictures and everything.
Why don't you use Google Photos? I mean, really, guys.
Oh,
you carry your laptop because you don't have Google Photos.
Yeah, no, but then also sometimes I want to like do some like
work.
Yeah, because I try
to start free.
Yo.
But anyways, continue.
No, Lighten, you're disappointing me. Yo. So on that topic of books, Mina, the last two trips that I went on, I did take books, but I never opened one of those.
I literally finished the long it was an 8-hour flight. I finished that book from A to B.
No, in a flight I'm either sleeping or I am watching something on the like a movie catch up. I think it's the best time to I can't be reading when it's so dark and people are sleeping.
That flight was like at 1 PM anyway, so you know, obviously the sleeping pattern would have remained the same, so I had to finish the book.
Yeah.
It was a confusing read, but I finished the book nonetheless.
So I think also having what I like to do is buy snacks. I will go to Woolies, pick up on snacks.
Yeah.
Chips. your biltong dried mm-hmm. fruits, and just some sweets to snack on. Sometimes you get, sometimes you don't know where you'll end up, and you might need something to snack on, mm-hmm. or even during the trip, maybe you are traveling to whatever, and you just happen to, maybe it takes forever to get to a restaurant, and you're too hungry, so just have something to always nibble on.
Trash snacks like this other airline. They give
you're very responsible. I always buy like 2 bottles of champagne.
Yeah, to at the airport. Buy alcohol at.
That's for when I land,
when
actually,
you,
not
when
even
you,
before.
When you land, or when you're going.
No, when I'm going.
Oh, buy alcohol.
Yes. So that when I land for pre-drinks.
I'm not that invested in alcohol. Not yet.
So when you guys, and it works, hey?
It works.
And you just pack, you know, exactly. the alcohol anywhere you go, mm-hmm. it works.
I'll tell you why it's good. Like, especially if you're traveling to a place where alcohol is really expensive.
Oh.
It's like if you buy a bottle of gin, but you have like pre-drinks when you go out, so that you don't like
spend a lot of money at the place. That's nice, and especially if you're traveling with friends and you're like staying in like a B&B or apartment or whatever, then it's nice. You always have something to
drink at the pool.
Oh, that's nice. I find the one thing that I've stopped myself from doing is like I used to pick like a whole lot of shoes. I would pack like too many pairs of shoes.
I still do that actually.
You don't even use all of them.
Yeah.
Like heels. If I pick a pair of heels, it's one pair, and it will be particularly because maybe there's something fancy that I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need to dress up or whatever.
Yeah.
Then yes, I will pick a pair of heels. But mostly it's flat shoes. I like being comfortable generally, but even
tall,
when traveling,
I'm short, so I'll always pack heels.
But then also, you know what I found? Like what one of my friends told me to do, because my last trip when I went to Vietnam, and I literally threw everything in the suitcase, and I met my friend in Hong Kong. I had to send half of the things back because she was coming back, and it was just, I literally packed everything. She says that you need to do a mood board before you leave.
Apparently,
exactly.
Yes.
You need
That's
to
what
do,
happened for the January, for the January trip when we went to Kenya.
Oh, yeah.
She literally sent us a mood board, and I was like, what, do we have to dress up like this?
Yeah.
She was like, no, if you would like to, but for the birthday day, for the birthday, this is what I would like you to wear.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So
oh my gosh, that is so cute.
So tell us about the mood board.
So you basically do like a mood board. Like so you collect pictures of where you're going, where you're potentially gonna go, what you're gonna see, and then you put those there, and then see what you like to wear, and then create like a board of what you like to wear, and then go into your wardrobe and like pick things like that.
Things.
Let's say if you're gonna have like, if you wanna wear black pants, pick 3 other things that will go with the black pants.
Yeah.
So then it's like you're not packing a lot of things,
nice.
But you still
I
look
like
different.
That.
So I also thought that was quite useful.
I'm going to use that for my next trip,
exactly.
actually.
Yeah.
And when
Can
you pack
imagine?
In your suitcase, you need to roll the clothes because then it's more safe.
Rather than...
I've always wondered, but I just never do it. I get angry with myself. But anyway.
Yeah. So I think that's it in terms of traveling, unless there's something I missed. But I think those are the basics.
My wig.
We got it covered.
So that's another thing about wigs. Okay, the most wigs that I've taken on a trip was 2.
Uh-huh. Yeah, same here. No, 3. I've taken 3 wigs, because I wasn't sure, you know, how I'd feel on that day.
Yeah. I actually decided when I travel, I don't want to have wigs. Because, you know, like, and then when the fling happens, and then you must be taking off wigs. Okay, topic for another. Okay, thank you guys. This has been a good show. Thank you
so much
for the conversation.
For
we will see you guys next week. We will come out again next week. You know where to find us, everywhere you find your favorite podcast. The Office, hashtag The Office Podcast. Please rate us, leave us a review, tell us what you think of
subscribe.
The podcast.
Exactly.
Subscribe so you get notified when we've got new episodes out.
Amen.
Thank you guys and goodbye.
Thanks,
bye.